Victor's first real administrative crisis occurred early that first spring.
With General Grove's approval, Oppenheimer had appointed his former Göttingen classmate Edward U. Condon as associate director.
Condon's job was to relieve Oppenheimer of some of his administrative burdens and to serve as liaison with the Army's military commander at Los Alamos. 2 years older than Oppenheimer, Condon was both a brilliant physicist and a seasoned laboratory administrator.
After earning his doctorate at Berkeley in 1926, Condon had won postdoctoral appointments in Göttingen and Munich.
For the next decade, he taught at several universities, including Princeton, and published the first English-language textbook on quantum mechanics. In 1937, he left Princeton to become associate director of research at Westinghouse Electric Company, a major industrial research center. Over the next few years, he supervised the company's research in nuclear physics and microwave radar. By the autumn of 1940, he was working full-time on war-related projects, primarily radar, at MIT's radiation laboratory. In short, Condon was, in terms of experience at least, significantly more qualified than Oppenheimer to lead the new laboratory in Los Alamos. Condon had not been as politically active as Oppenheimer in the 1930s, and he certainly was not affiliated with the Communist Party. He thought of himself as a liberal New Dealer, a loyal Democrat who voted for Franklin Roosevelt. Raised as a Quaker, Condon once told a friend, "I join every organization that seems to have noble goals. I don't ask whether it contains communists." An idealist with strong civil libertarian instincts, Condon believed that good science could not come without a free exchange of ideas, and he lobbied vigorously for regular contacts between physicists at Los Alamos and the other labs around the country. Inevitably, he quickly attracted the ire of General Groves, who heard repeated reports of security infractions from his military representatives in Los Alamos. "Compartmentalization of knowledge, to me," Groves insisted, "was the very heart of security." In late April 1943, Groves was angered to learn that Oppenheimer had traveled to the University of Chicago, where he had discussed the production schedule for plutonium with the director of the Manhattan Project's Metallurgical Laboratory, MetLab, the physicist Arthur Compton. The general blamed Condon for this ostensible infringement of security. Descending on Los Alamos, Groves stormed into Oppenheimer's office and confronted the two men. Condon stood his ground against the general, but, to his astonishment, he realized that Oppenheimer was not backing him up. Within a week, Condon decided to tender his resignation. He had intended to stay for the project's duration, but had lasted just 6 weeks. "The thing which upsets me most is the extraordinarily close security policy," he wrote Oppenheimer in his resignation letter. "I do not feel qualified to question the wisdom of this, since I am totally unaware of the extent of enemy espionage and sabotage activities. I only want to say that in my case I found that the extreme concern with security was morbidly depressing, especially the discussion about censoring mail and telephone calls." Condon explained that he was so shocked that I could hardly believe my ears when General Groves undertook to reprove us. "I feel so strongly that this policy puts you in the position of trying to do an extremely difficult job with three hands tied behind your back."